The Real Kipper and Bourne Show goes national. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, right across your Sportsnet platforms. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Rob Brown, former NHLer, covers the Edmonton Oilers, analyst for CHED. I hope he's got some answers for us.
Yeah, could use some.
One of those days where I just feel bad.
Feel bad.
Like, I'm like, Brownie. But like, want to come on? Like,
yeah, it's not a fun time to talk about your team.
It's not like texting Shawnee Reynolds to come on. It's just like
all they Jets do is
talk.
Win.
Yeah, you know?
Four games on tap in the National Hockey League tonight. Scattered times again.
You love this.
I'm really liking this. 6:30 Eastern, Tampa Bay in Florida. Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa at 7. Vegas in Minnesota, 9 p.m. And Jets talk against the St. Louis Blues.
You love that.
9:30.
That 6:30 puck drop. The chopper gets you home just in time for the puck drop, so you're ready to rock.
He jumps out above his house to land on the compound.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And parachutes into his seat.
20. It's not quite like that. Not quite like that.
Sounds good, though.
So we left the jacket up, the Leaf jacket up.
Yes.
So you text me at 2:30.
Yeah, I forgot to
bring a jersey in. And then I sent you a picture. I was at the desk. I'm like, I don't have it.
Yeah.
And then I remembered I did put it in the car like a day and a half ago. So do you want it?
What?
I brought an old Hartford Whaler jersey.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God. Yes,
so first
see
off,
it.
Thanks to the people at Starter who sent us that sick Leafs jacket back there.
Let's see this
That's
thing,
pretty high end. We'll have to raffle that off.
Oh, my God.
Look at this kit.
Wow. If you're listening,
got some blood here. Here, Sam, go put it up.
Yeah, does it have blood on it? Puck marks. You got the boards.
Wow.
That is really
wow,
nice.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
Hurricanes could never.
And it's the green, which we had a little early, and then Brian Burke went to the blue.
Was it Burke went to the blue?
Yeah, it was Burke. Yeah.
Burke's
done, you go, Sammy.
He's done some jersey work over the years.
There you go.
That's a really cool jersey. I've been begging you to bring one in. There's two things I noticed about that jersey. First of all, I love that NHL 75 logo. I think that's such a cool logo.
Really good.
And that's the heaviest jersey ever.
Yeah.
Like, you're just sweating buckets in that thing.
100% real alpaca.
Yeah, like, jersey technology's really come a long
way. And it's got the fight strap, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, I always laughed. Like, Velcro.
Yeah.
Like, you got some of the biggest animals in the National Hockey League ready to rip your head off. And Velcro's going to keep the jersey from
eventually
moving.
They added the button. Michael Haley, who used to, he played in the NHL for some years, is on my team, and he used to come over and he'd like triple wrap the strap around the back of the pants the jersey was as tight as possible.
It was either a lace or plastic tape.
Right. You wanted the guy to grab it and there to be nothing. It just stuck to the,
Remember Rob Ray with I'm getting naked in 2 seconds?
Yeah, he had like the equivalent of the snap pants, but a jersey, it just came off.
Is that when he was...
Probert was like that, too.
When he was beating up the fan? The guy in the
That's
bench,
right, too.
All right, we're going to welcome in Rob Brown momentarily, but like, I need your thoughts, guys, just in terms of Edmonton going into LA and essentially getting their lunches fed to them.
Now, pretty much everyone had their lunches fed to them in Los Angeles this year. That's the team lost 5 games in LA this year, but pretty disheartening to give up 12 goals. I think that's, you know, you don't think of LA as a great offensive team. In fact, they're not a great offensive team.
Just 4 teams in the last 30 years have done that, given up 12 goals in their first 2 games.
What? Really?
Yeah. That's what I put in the lineup, right? Did I do that or did you?
You think I would research that?
I don't know. That's from the NHL media. And
that's crazy.
But I, you know,
I'm not going to sit here and say it's all Skinner's fault. It's defense, but he's a part of it. Anyway, we're going to get real answers from someone who knows much more than me.
Let's welcome in Rob Brown, former National Hockey Leaguer, covering the Edmonton Oilers. Brownie, I don't know where you want to start in terms of where you saw the Kings, where you saw the Oilers going into this series, and where you see them now. You tell me where you want to start.
Well, I think before the series started, I felt the Kings were a better team than they were last year. And the biggest reason is in net. Kemper, the season he had, he's a former Stanley Cup champion. So I felt that they were a better team because of their goaltending. I was shocked at how well Kuzmenko has played for them. I saw him at the end of the year. I thought that trade was just a throwaway trade at the time, but he's been fantastic. So this was a team that was going to be better. I didn't think the Oilers were as good a team as they were that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. I think some of the losses over the course of the summer, and certainly the loss of Ekholm before the playoff series started, I felt that, okay, the Oilers aren't quite as good as they were last year. Having said all that, I still felt the Oilers had Leon and Connor. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be enough for this team to win the series against an LA King team that in the back of their minds were probably thinking, can we get over this hump? But in the first two games, I remember Drew Doughty talked before the series, said, we are a very, very good defensive team. But if a team wants to run and gun, we have the ability to score goals. And what we've seen through two games is they do. Every time the Oilers have pushed, the Kings have found a way to answer. And they're getting production all through their lineup. And very rarely, and I've been now with the Oilers for 19 years, and I've done all of the games that Connor and Leon have been here. Very rarely can I say after a game, the opposition's best players were better than the Oilers' best players. But in game two, the Kempe, Kopitar, Kuzmenko line, it wasn't even close between them and the Oilers' best players. So the LA Kings fully deserve it of the 2-0 lead to start the series.
Even with, you know, it going as badly as it has, you know, the Oilers' decor is better than this. Is it not? Like, it feels like there's still steps to be taken here where you're going to get a better version of this team at home.
I believe so. And I don't think it's just the decor. I mean, no. It's in game number one, the Kings were the better team all game long until McDavid went McDavid and ties the game up. But the end of the game, the Oilers give up a clear-cut 3-on-2, a turnover inside the zone, no back check. And no clearing in front of the net. And it's a 3-on-2 with a minute to go in a tied hockey game. That's a defensive miscue. Last night, the Oilers pull within 3-2. And then Arvidsson turns the puck over in his own zone, which it happens. He fanned on it. Puck goes into the corner. He follows Kulak in. So they have two guys going to one player. All of a sudden, you got Kempe wide open. And Kempe's not going to miss that. And everyone can say whatever they want about goaltending. Kempe is a goal scorer
who had
all the time in the world. That was an absolute bomb that he put past Skinner.
Yeah.
And again, that was on the forward. The Edmonton Oilers have just made bigger mistakes than the LA Kings. Way bigger mistakes. It's on the defensive core. It's on the forwards coming back. It just over and over. And here's the play right here. And all of a sudden they follow. And here there's Kempe. And then in front of that, Emberson just standing by himself. So the mistakes are just too big. And we take a phone calls after our games here on Ched, and everybody's all over Skinner. But if that's McDavid or Drysdale picking that puck up, the expectation is those guys are going to score. And there'd be no thought that the goalie could actually save it. So I believe the Oilers can and will be better on Friday. But are they good enough without Matthias Ekholm? And early in this year, we have a podcast here and we talk about it. I said that I believe the one player the Oilers cannot afford to get hurt long term is Ekholm.
Right.
Connor and Leon, you lose Connor for a little bit, you got Leon. You lose Leon for a little bit, you got Connor. You lose Ekholm, you lose your entire defensive conscience. He's the guy that you put out on penalty kill, last minute to period, when things are going sideways. And we've seen over the first two games with 12 goals against and 5 power play goals how important Matthias Ekholm is to this team.
Is it tough to judge Evander Kane and Klimber coming in now with, you know, the lack of activity prior? Is it even fair?
Well, I thought Klingberg was fine. Klingberg came in. I don't think he met the expectations of what they were hoping from him. And, I mean, he's been gone a long time. And the number of surgeries he's went through. And I don't know if his skating is where it was, you know, a few years ago. But I thought he was fine in game two. He made the best offensive play in the entire game, setting up Leon. So I don't think there's been any issue with him. I thought he was fine. And Kane, I mean, in my era, there's zero chance I'm taking 10 months off and coming into a playoff game and being effective at all. I think Kane can bring a physicality and intimidation. There might be a little rust on the hands, but he's a guy, and you would know as well as I do, Kipper, when Kane's on the ice, if you're an opposition player, you're looking. You're just over the shoulder. You're like, okay, where is he? And there's a little hesitation in your play, and there's a little quickness with your play simply because you know that he's going to run you over. And when he hits you, he's not hitting you to separate you from the puck. He's hitting you to inflict as much damage as possible. So I thought Kane was fine, but I think the expectation of can he be the Kane that scored, you know, 15 goals or 14 goals in the playoffs, that expectation might be a little too high right now.
I hated the call on him too.
Yeah. I mean, it's playoff hockey. Should be okay. Anyways. So then I'll just add to that with the injured guys. Trent Frederick gets 10 minutes last night. Any thoughts on the returns from him?
I don't think he looks 100%.
Yeah.
The first game he played for the Oilers, 6 seconds into the game, you could see tweaked it. And this was when he first came back from injury. And he played 7 minutes that night, and he was favoring it. I've watched him in Boston. I know what he's capable of doing. He looks quiet out there. He looks a step behind, and I don't think he's 100%, and it's obvious. They need this Oiler team with the injuries they have and how good LA is. The players that are playing, they need to be at their top, and I don't think some of the players are physically at their top right now.
Rob, even with a healthy Ekholm, we've done it. I'm sure you guys have done it. It's been questioned throughout the season. Are they deep enough on the blue line? And they had a chance to get Cam Fowler and didn't want to give up a second round pick. And then they obviously waited for Klingberg.
Yeah.
But is it too early now to look back and question whether or not they had, are people doing it now, or do they wait till the end of this season potentially to wonder if they were deep enough to begin with?
Oh, no, they're already questioning. There's been a lot of questions been thrown out about some. I mean, it goes all the way back to last summer. Broberg and Holloway, why they weren't signed before the offer sheets, and then why one of them at least wasn't retained. Klingberg was a Hail Mary. No one knew what you were going to get out of him. You were hopeful you would get something that resembled what he was, but you didn't know. Fowler would have been a much more known commodity because you can watch him play. The Oilers on the back end aren't as good as last year. I believe CeCe and Broberg are losses to this team. And they're trying to fill those spots. They are in the problem with a loss of Ekholm, and if it's for long-term, what the rumors are, they are one injury to a top four guy now from being catastrophic. Because this is a team that right now is relying strongly on their top four. Mm-hmm. If a Nurse or a Bouchard or a Wallman goes down, now you're bringing in a Brown who played 4 minutes in game one or a Stetcher who's not healthy, and now you're elevating other players. So, yeah, the depth of the Oilers' defense is being tested, and losing a guy that plays 24 hard minutes a night, you've watched. They've given up 12 goals in two games. They are bleeding grade A scoring chances. Skinner is taking the brunt of the blame, but this has not been a good defensive effort for the first two games. So, yeah, there will be, if the Oilers do not move on past this round, this is not an easy market to play in, to GM in, to coach in. There will be second guessing, and it's already started.
So is there a world here? So the Oilers are just never done. You know, we've seen them start the season 3-10, and we've seen them figure it out. We saw them go down 4-0 in game one. You saw them figure it out. They just seem to be that you can't kill them easily. Is there a world where, you know, they get back home, McDavid and Draisaitl are humming, the D's a little better, get a few more saves, and they can find their way back into this series?
Well, it's funny. You look at the two teams. One team, the Oilers, come in injured. You've got all these question marks. No Ekholm. There's question marks in net. There's question marks on the back end. Depth. And then you look at LA and the season they had, and everything was positive for them. Their home team that wins all the time. Their goaltenders has Hellebuck numbers, just not as many games. Everything's working for them. Yet I couldn't bet against Connor and Leon. I couldn't bet against the Oilers. And in the game one, they're down 4-1 at the end of the second period, and we're doing the radio broadcast. And I'm like, I was asked, do you think they're just trying to find momentum for game two? I'm like, no, they believe they're going to win the game. They honestly believe in that dressing room, they're going to win the game. Last night when it was 5-2, I'm thinking LA needs another goal if they think they're going to put this one away. Because at 5-2, you think Connor and Leon score a goal. It's 5-3. They get a power play. Well, there's 5-4. Now you pull your goalie, and there's no team better in the NHL at 6-on-5 than the Oilers. So, yes, I do believe the Oilers are still in this series. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can win games by themselves.
Yeah.
Now, they may have to have a 5 or 6 point night to do it, but they will need a goaltender to have a big game. And you could see the body language on the bench last game. It is not good, but that body language can change very, very quickly if the Oilers come out. They're a team that where Connor in the first 5 or 6 minutes of a hockey game can have the Oilers up 2-0 and have the fans in it. That's what the Oilers need. They need their swagger back. They lost their swagger in the first two games.
For those of you that are watching our show, we just showed that type of body language, and it was really strong in Los Angeles, particularly around Connor and Leon, the shaking the head, the turning away at times. And I'm just wondering, like, maybe I've not watched Edmonton as much as you have. Has it been common at times? Like, I don't recall seeing that type of body language from these guys in the past.
It's been a while. I think the beginning of last season, when they really struggled out of the gate, that body language was there. Because I think it was confusion. They're like, okay, wait a second. We're supposed to compete for a Stanley Cup. And it eventually cost, a goalie his job in the National Hockey League and a coach his job. And then the others got their swagger back. They haven't had it this year because everything seemed to go well. And then they ran into injuries. And even in injuries, they still hung around there. They're a 100-point team. Even coming into the playoffs and everything looking favorable for LA finally coming over this hump, the Oilers still had swagger. And Connor McDavid, you guys are all talking about injuries. We're good. We're going to be fine. So any team that has 29 and 97 on it has the capability of winning any game. And I do believe that there's still that thought in the back of the LA Kings' mind. Until we win game four, there's always that chance. But you saw it. You're showing it on your screen right now. Connor and Leon, the last 7 minutes of the game last night, the looks on the bench, and they kept going back to the bench. It was two players that looked perplexed at how are we here. The expectations were the Oilers were going to win one, if not two, when they went to LA. Coming home, getting hammered in game two, giving up 12 goals, I don't think there's anyone in that dressing room that thought that could have happened.
So how much credit is due to the Kings? Like the way Kempe's played, incredible. Byfield's been good. They've had some really solid performances.
They have. They're a good
team. Harmonica team. I don't know if you heard them. They were awesome.
Gene's interview.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. The interview.
It was the best part of the night, I think, for Oiler fans.
Well, they're the Kate Smith of the 2020 right there. The LA Kings last year in the playoffs, and I was really critical of their coaching staff with their penalty killing. They went with an incredibly passive penalty kill against an Oilers power play, and the Oilers power play picked them apart. You're giving Connor and Leon all the time in the world to make the perfect play, and they embarrassed the Kings. This year, they're aggressive. So the things that the Kings have changed, they're aggressive on the penalty kill, and they will get burned for a good chance. But they're at least forcing the Oilers to have to make quick choices and execute perfectly. And if they don't, the Oilers aren't able to create anything. So that's been a very big positive. The LA Kings changed their power play late in the season by going with 5 forwards. And, from what we've seen thus far, it's working. And the best part for LA King fans is their best players have been their best players. Kempe has always lit up the Oilers, and he's all world right now. Kopitar is one of my favorite players in the world to watch. He just never seems to make a mistake. And then they have all of these fast, aggressive players on the wings. You got a Fogle, you got a Brown, you got a Fiala, or you got, Moore. You got these players that just continue to push forward. They're going north. There's no east-west with this team. And I think that's what they learned playing against the Oilers in the past few years. If you are going to beat the Oilers, you have to be aggressive. So every time there is a turnover, push it forward. Push it north right away and try to catch them and forecheck the Oilers' defense. Last year, they allowed the Oilers to carry the puck out of the zone, and they all waited in the neutral zone. Well, eventually the Oilers figured that out, and the LA Kings got nothing going offensively after that. So the LA Kings, give them credit. They are playing a different style, and they're playing it to a T thus far, and they have a goaltender that's making the saves he needs to make. And this is one of the things, and I think it was Mark Spector wrote it here. If you switch goalies after a game in the first two games, Kemper played for Edmonton and Skinner played for LA, the LA Kings would probably still be up 2-0. It's just the grade A chances that the Edmonton Oilers have given up have been too many for any goaltender to be able to keep the Oilers in the game.
You control the middle of the ice, you have a very good chance to control the game. Kopitar, mm-hmm. Byfield, Philip Deneau up the middle. All have contributed goals. Where is Ryan Nugent Hopkins?
Well, I mean, good point. The Oilers in the third period of game one decided to go with Connor and Leon together. And we've seen in the past, they call it going nuclear here. It's hard to contain them. The problem when you do that is you now leave your second, third, and fourth lines to fend for themselves. So you need an RNH to be able to carry a line. And what's happened here in the first two games is when Connor and Leon are on the ice, they tilt the ice. But when they're not, the LA Kings, it's almost like we're survived. We just have to survive that minute with 97 and 29. Once we survive that minute, now we go forward. And then we have 3.5 minutes where we can dominate. Survive a minute, 3.5 the other way. And the Oilers need more out of other players. They need more. Adam Henrique had a great game physically, but I mean, the Oilers aren't, physicality isn't the problem for the Oilers. Getting in on the forecheck, getting sticks on pucks, creating turnovers. So they need more out of Nugent Hopkins, out of Hyman, out of Henrique. And actually, you can go through a long list. When you give up 12 goals in two games, there's a lot of players that need to be better. And the thing, as being here with the Oilers now for 19 years, I've seen that what they're capable of. They haven't reached their bar and haven't come close to it this year. But they need to reach it on Friday night, because this is an LA King team. I mean, the odds don't go well for you if you're down 3-0. And the LA King team will just continue to grow more and more confident. And I don't think you want to have to beat a very good LA team four games in a row. So Friday, I mean, the series is on the line.
Must win Friday night, game three in Edmonton. Brownie, always a pleasure having you on the show, man. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Hopefully things go well here on Friday night so that we can do this again next week.
Yeah, thanks for your time, man. We're happy to have you back.
Rob Brown.
Cheers, guys.
Rob Brown, former National Hockey Leaguer.
It's really tough to have someone on to talk about the Oilers when things have gone not well, right?
Buddy, I can't quit him.
We do a Leaf show for an hour.
I know. Well, that's fair enough.
I can't quit him.
The Oilers.
I can't quit him.
You just think they're not done.
I love Leon and Connor as much as anybody, yeah. And I understand what they're capable of doing, but they don't play defense.
It's really hard to look at the way they've played and the way they're constructed without Holm and say they're going to be okay. It's hard to confidently say that.
They can't be in two places at the same time on the ice.
I mean, with the way they've played through the first two games, Ekholm may be a heart candidate next year.
Oh, geez.
Like, I mean, in terms of importance to their team, it slots everybody in. And the clips of Nurse and Bouchard.
It's like just, the way we said,
man. Nurse standing on the wrong side, you know, on the Byfield goal.
Yeah.
Such easy access to the net.
I mean, Bouchard letting him walk down Main Street. And he's guarding against the
pack. I was going to say, like, the way the Leafs added Carlo and it made Riley better. Mm. Ekholm makes Bouchard better.
Yes.
So, you know, when he's in, he doesn't just give you one guy. He gives you a 1.5 guy,
yeah.
You know, of improvement.
Game time?
It's game time.
Whoa. Yes, it is. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. as I open this up here, interesting tonight in Ottawa. This line, does it surprise you that the Toronto Maple Leafs, with a 2-0 series lead going into their second home building in Ottawa, are a underdog tonight on the betting lines? Does that surprise you?
Yes.
When was the last time they won there?
Been a while. It's been a while.
It's going to be a factor.
Yeah. Plus 110 tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Plus money on a team that's up 2-0 in a series. The Ottawa Senators are minus 130. So
I don't, it's not that I think the Leafs are more likely to win than Ottawa, but I just don't want Ottawa at minus money.
Yeah.
Down 0-2 in a series.
The other games on the ice tonight, one starting at 6:30, the Florida Panthers in Tampa, slight underdogs, plus 100, plus money on the Florida Panthers, who looked really, really good in game one. You could do worse than plus 100 on the Panthers there.
No Sorelli in Tampa.
Game time decision.
Okay.
Tampa is minus 120. Vegas, the series shifts to Minnesota. Minnesota, big underdogs on home ice against the Vegas Golden Knights, plus 140 tonight.
Ooh,
Vegas like is minus 165. And the Winnipeg Jets going to St. Louis, looking for a 3-0 series lead. Minus 120, the Winnipeg Jets in St. Louis. The Blues are plus 100 on the other side of the money line. So four good games tonight. Lots to be determined. Looking forward to another great couch night.
So hard to beat any good team in the NHL four straight times.
Very hard.
St. Louis, Ottawa, you name it, Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Really hard to beat a team four times in a row.
Anyways, that was Game Time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. And then we got Marty Turco tee us up. What's going on in Dallas? How they're doing it without the likes of Robertson and Miro Heiskanen and their number one defenseman.
It's the old guard here. It's Ben scoring. Yep. It's Sagan with the OT winner.
Before we go to break, just a little kind of question for you, that if the Oilers don't find a way to come back and make it a series.
Okay.
What are you getting at, Mr. Kiprios?
Connor.
Oh.
Needing a new contract and eligible to sign one as early as July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling as confident as before when they were contending for a Stanley Cup, his chances of signing, and would it alter your feeling on whether or not Connor signs as early as July 1st?
Leon signed, and to me that was the biggest thing the Oilers could do, because they're a package deal, and once he signs, I can't see Connor leaving him at the altar. Being like, see ya.
I want to sit here and be like, you know, controversial and say like, oh yeah, like I'd love him to leave. And I would kill for him to leave, especially to Toronto, obviously. But I don't think. Okay. It hasn't changed my thought at all.
Okay.
You?
I don't have them married like my good buddy here.
I've got them walking up the aisle.
I know.
But oh, the priest hasn't got there yet? Or?
Well, the ring bearer is still in the back waiting to come down.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it. I think it would give him a lot to think about.
Yeah, they can't go out like an ugly 4-0 way.
If they get swept, then it's a different story. But I still think I'm such an idiot. I still think they're coming back. That's like Brownie. He was tricked by them too, I guess. But I have a hard time believing they're going to go quietly.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah. I think they can win a game here. Friday night, get them back in the series.
Yeah.
They can win the game,
yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
But I do think it's tough when you look at the offseason they had and you see Fogel blowing by your D. And Oilers fans have heard that a ton.
Listen, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this. But I do believe that if they go as quietly as they have in the first two games, then, you know, there's a lot of talk about where this team is heading and how quickly can they get back to a Stanley Cup final, because as Brownie said, they are we all agree they're not as good as they were last year.
No. Definitely not. Not even close. And, I mean, Arvidsson got a multi-year deal. He's there next year.
Arvidsson has a no-move clause.
Janmark's multi-year. Sakes. Oh my God! What?
We should go, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go. Marty Turco. When we return to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and now somewhere deep, deep on the 18th hole, let's bring in Marty Turco, former NHL special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars. Oh, my gosh.
From the pro shop again?
Can you just turn around and buy me something real quick at the pro shop?
Yeah, did you like some Draddy? We got some Peter Millar gear. Maybe some G4. Are you looking at G4?
Hey, seriously, though, the best part of retiring, isn't it, where you are right now on the golf course?
I'm actually not. This is our office, which is slash little pro shop. We got guys on the simulator over here. I said I was talking to really famous guys in Canada. They're like, we don't care. It's playoff time. Like, come on, I get this serious here.
It is. So, you know, you look at the way the Dallas Stars finished the season, and then the injuries, and then Colorado made all these trades. And yes, you guys traded for Rantanen as well. But I did anybody really see the fight in the Dallas Stars now to be up in this series this early?
I'd say Jim Neal, Scott White, Mark Janko,
and you. No,
Brad Alberts. No. It was tough to watch. I mean, finish 7 straight losses, open up with that game at home, which was pretty bleak. Who knew we'd be up 2-1 with a couple overtime scrappy wins. I mean, we're built like that. We wish we had a few guys back in the lineup, but no, I'm serious. I was really nervous. I really don't get nervous this time of year anymore. I just really look forward to it. It's the best thing in sports ever. Our team's in it. We've had some great runs, but I'm dead serious. I did not feel good, and it's still a little. I mean, we've got a tough opponent. We're not playing our absolute best, and we're not even close to our best, I don't think. But we're up 2-1 in a tough building, in a tough place, and they got the captain back last night. So a few days off with some altitude training or, you know, whatever you call it. Would be beer drinking in our days, Kipper, but yep. Now it's sleep and eat and a little more training. So it should be fun Saturday night.
How about the old guys? Like, pretty impressive performances from guys like Ben and Seguin. These guys still putting in the work. They can still do it.
Well, they better. They're still on some good long-term contracts.
Earning money.
Earning money. Well, not right now. That's the best part of the playoffs, right? Guys aren't making their money. They've already earned it. And I'll say this, you know, last year, Jamie's deal, he's playing great. We do have a deep team. We don't need him to play 20, 21 minutes anymore. I think he's because he's our captain, but he's our leader on the ice in terms of effort and, you know, putting pucks in right places, finishing checks. He is a big body, but he's a great dude. And, you know, Seguin to come back, only really play one game, kind of get, pushed around a little bit. But he's in there. He's in the mix. He's putting pucks in places, too. And they get a chance in overtime, delivers. The old guys, they are doing it. And we'll need them, right? We'll definitely need our younger guys to pick up the bulk of it. But it's great to see those guys producing and eating minutes and playing well.
You're watching and listening to Marty Turco, former National Hockey Leaguer, special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars. So, you're Ottinger, and you just stare down the barrel of a gun with MacKinnon and Makar. Like, in your day, what was the comparable that, you know, you just saw two or three guys coming at you, and you're like, oh, my God.
Well, to be honest, like, I think just look at Colorado, you know, when I turned pro, yeah. I probably wish I had MacKinnon and these guys. I mean, Makar and others. I mean, they're a great team and it's tough. I mean, you know, a little half breakaway by Nichushkin, put on a 3-deker. But you're talking Forsberg, Sackett, one of the best duos of all time. I mean, of all time. Winners. And, you know, they were loaded. I mean, you had Hayduke on the wing. I mean, those – you know, they started at Pepsi Center in Denver, and you're like, oh gosh, here we go. But it was a ton of fun. It's those moments in your career, you look back and you're like, man, that was, you got to play against those guys. That was a blast. And, you know, Detroit was heavy. They were rocking, you know, their third line when they won their first cup of the most recent era was Brett Hull, Datsyuk, and Zetterberg. You know, that was their third line. there's just guys that teams were just good. You know, I'm talking pre-salary cap era too, right? It was that long ago. But those guys were playing, you know, it at that time. So I had some guys that, you know, I was like, all right, this is great. I mean, I you know, we're in the Pacific division. San Jose was always great. You know, Thornton, Chichu, who had 50 goals 1 year, you know, Pavelski later on, and Marlowe, you know, had Roenick for a couple of years. Those guys were just, there's a well-oiled machine. Perry, Getzlaff, and Timu, Andy McDonald, and Anaheim. It was always fun. I'd rather play against the good ones than teams, you know, without it. So I think for Jake's sake, I think he also looks at the other end and says, all right, I got a rookie down there. Even though I'm young, I like my chances, and I've played against these guys, have a lot of success. So bring it on.
So what have you seen out on Jerry? He allowed 4 goals on 24 shots in a 5-1 loss in game one. Since then, how have you seen him respond?
Well, I know it's not the Toronto Maple Leafs, so you probably didn't watch it, Kipper. But he was fine, and he was fine in game one. They had a couple bicycle kicks over his shoulder. He's good. He's tracking the puck awesome. We're fortunate to have another solid backup this year. Let him, you know, not up to eat 65 games this year. So he's ready. He's ready to go. He looks fantastic. We're going to need him. We're really going to need him on Saturday, I think. I think this is going to be a game where you're going to need a goal in the first period, maybe two and possibly all three, just to have a chance to win. So I think he's good. He's tracking it well. He's moving fantastic. He makes it look easy out there. Never does too much, which is, you know, a skill set in its own. So he's good. I'm proud of him. He's ready to rock, and we need him.
Probably tough, even as competitive as you may be or the team may be, not to have a moment of appreciation for Landeskog making his return after 3 years, gets back in there. Maybe you were hoping it would be 3.5 years, but you know, still a nice moment here in the crowd last night.
No, that's, I mean, I think that's tongue in cheek, but I saw him in the bathroom. He came to outside the suites, and I didn't know if he was, actually at that point, I didn't know he took warm up. You know, I was entertaining, doing my job. And I didn't know that at that point was in our building, and I saw him, and I was like, hey, you know, I don't know when you're coming back, but this is good luck, man. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine. That's 1,000 games, 3 years. You don't wish that on anybody. He's a great person. He's a great leader, champion. And we want a plan. I'm not saying we want to play him right now, like you said, but we do. If you're going to beat him, let's beat him at their best. And I thought he looked fantastic last night, coming out, laying the body, making plays for missing that much time off. I was really impressed. And let's see if he can continue that kind of battle-tested attitude. But if there's really anybody in today's game that can do it, it's Gabriel. And so I can't have empathy. I've never been in that position. I didn't miss a game in my 30s, other than 37, 38, and 39 when I was, you know, retired. They're like, you're no longer good. Just, just go play some golf there, big guy. Other than those years, you know, you take your health for granted. I know he does it. To see his kids there was a really great moment. And the Colorado crowd, like always, really appreciated it. And then they're good hockey fans, you know, similar to what we have here in Dallas. They get it. And I was glued in from the beginning. I would make sure I was watching it. And it was because of him, not just because the Stars were playing. It really was a neat moment.
Got to ask you about Rantanen. We saw a real strong play in the neutral zone that led to the game-winning goal last night. But just the overall adjustment that he's gone through. I mean, a guy of that stature playing on multiple teams in such a short period of time can't be easy.
I can't imagine either, Kipper. I don't have that in my experience to really draw from it. You know, I played for different teams, but start of the year, not mid-season, not teams I won a cup with, not teams, you know, just it's a crazy scenario. But There's a moment he's trying a little too hard, in my opinion. Just, but that's the way he plays too. Like, he's sneaky, he lifts sticks, he gets a puck back. He's, you know, thinks offensively. You know, he's a big dude and he does a lot. He's out there a lot for us. He plays. So the chemistry is tough because he wasn't here all year in the power play. You know, was playing with on the line with Robertson for a little bit. He's not in the lineup. And so this, you see some inconsistencies within his game, whether he's just in the wrong spot, but you can see the talent that he uses. And I can't imagine the pressure he's under. He wants to win more than anybody, right, against that team with what transpired during the season. And we want him to for Dallas. We believe in the guy. We locked him up for a long time for a lot of money. And so we're gonna need him at some point to make some plays. Maybe it's only 2 points, 3 points for the rest of the series, but he's going to need to do something to help us win this series. And I think he'll be a big difference maker, you know, either way, but hopefully it's on the positive side for the Dallas side.
Looking forward to game four, Marty. Go back to swinging some, you know, taking some good cuts again.
Yeah, we had a little storm today, so we had to bring it indoors, Skipper. I don't know if you guys are up there. Are you still at National? Where are you playing these days? I don't know if they kicked you out yet or not. But
Rosedale, baby, Rosedale.
Oh, Rosedale. Yeah, I played Rosedale.
We were looking at pitchers of Freestone, I can tell you that, before we had this chat.
Well, you can't find it online. It is a hidden gem. We're sodding our course, and we are we'll be playing the Big Boy Island course next year. We just had a couple of PGA Tour guys out there, and they were just ogling over it. So, you know, if you invite me back one more time this year, I'll probably get you guys a potential invite. How's that?
Buddy, we're all over
Book
that.
Book the flights. Book the flight.
We're gone. We're not even finishing the show right now. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Yeah, good seeing you guys.
God, thank you look good, man. You can still
Marty,
play, maybe.
Stop.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Marty Turco, one of the greats.
I love the idea that they have some golf course that's like Freemasonry or something, or the Illuminati.
That's
you
two
can't
invites right now because we got Ryan Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We got to do a U.S. tour, a golf tour.
I mean, that's an ultimate rich guy tour. Like, you know, like maybe get the private jet, fly us into Utah, fly us into Texas.
Make content out of it and have someone else pay for it?
That seems like.
So are we down to like a pick'em series right now, Dallas and Colorado?
I'd say that's a great way to put it because you think Colorado's the better team, right? I mean, I do.
Robertson's a huge blow. How about Mason Marchment's
one
play?
Hand holds him off, has the patience
on
to look
for a play. On the
game-winning
goal, Sammy, short, former Toronto Maple Leaf.
Don't love the short. Like, I mean, I know he's in tight, but it's the middle of a net there.
Mulgin would have?
Mulgin. I don't think he has. I mean, in the Swiss A-League.
Oh, is that the trade?
Yes.
Was that the trade?
That was straight up.
Mason Marchment for
straight up.
Mulgin.
That's a Dubas masterclass right there.
That's actually Hall of Fame.
He learned from
that's
that.
That's one of the worst
Dubas
of all time.
Dubas learned from that.
But I do like the play. I mean, you talk about moments for Rantanen. He just, you know, bullies Drouin in the offensive zone where he's trying to kind of spin it around, just wins the puck off him, lifts the stick, kicks it up, gets it in deep, gets an assist on the game-winning goal. That's got to feel great. Rantanen.
I've had enough Rantanen slander out there.
He's so good.
He's so good. He's big. He's bully. He's got a great vision. He can finish. He's going to get, you know, 90 points next year. No problem.
Can you imagine that Mitch Marner and Mikko Rantanen got traded for each other?
No.
What a world that would have been.
It would be mayhem.
Mayhem.
It would be take mayhem.
I don't know if either team's better. I don't know what it looks like. It's just an insane what if. Insane.
It's our world right now around these type of players, though, is like they've got to physically see the numbers or else they're just not getting the job done or they're not earning their money. Like, it's just about the numbers.
Right.
And
when it's not.
I think that play that he made in the neutral zone, it ain't sexy.
No.
Right?
Playoff hockey.
But you're glad he made it. And if they find a way, if Dallas finds a way to beat Colorado,
right,
and this guy's only got like 2 points
money's
in
worth.
Seven games
money's
or
worth.
Yeah.
3 points in seven games, no one's going to feel better than this guy, Rantanen, that he just stuck it to his old team.
And then you get potentially like, well, you said yesterday Heiskanen's maybe not close, but Heiskanen maybe second round, maybe Robertson. you start adding those guys into that lineup.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. If you pull out a Hail Mary series win here, all of a sudden it could get real tricky for the rest of the West.
Jets and...
But not the Jets, because all the Jets do is win, win, win.
Yeah, they play tonight.
They do?
Are you expecting them to win like they always do?
As I said, good teams are tough to beat four times in a row. I think, you know, whether it's overtime, whether it's whatever, I don't see this... No team is winning by three tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's
close game.
I'm not sure I can be any more impressed on by a team that's down 2-0 than I am for St. Louis. I think St. Louis played exceptionally hard.
In both games, they were awesome.
They're close. They're not better. They weren't better. They didn't deserve to win because Winnipeg was better. But they were good, too.
The one take I think I have reached is that the crowd in Winnipeg, the size of the building, the whiteout, elevated the look of those games to the point where it feels like it was so much better.
Yes.
Going back and forth between in Washington to in this series.
Different sport.
It felt like a different sport. But was that crowd related? Was that energy related? Like,
great question.
The frenzy of that building made it feel like such a different level. I'm curious if it looks like that in St. Louis, too, because it did look like the best played hockey of the first round.
Yeah, and just the hits in that series. It really does feel...
It probably was legitimately the best.
Speaking of the Habs, Habby's in trouble.
They were lucky to have that look as close as it was last night.
They got leaned on last night.
Montembeau was so good.
He was awesome.
He gave them a chance to steal that game.
Yeah.
They just couldn't do it.
Now, again... You guys know how I feel about the officiating, but Caulfield has a pretty good argument that there should have been a penalty called.
Agree.
On him.
Yep.
Like, this is where, you know, the officials got, there's a fine line. And we're also mentioning that tonight, Toronto and Ottawa and Stolarz and Ridley Gregg and the potential of things escalating there in front of the crease, but...
Yeah.
You watch. There's going to be an early penalty, and it won't be that pretty. It'll be because they're sending a message that we're not going to have that exchange again.
I like that take. They're going to try to nip tonight in the bud.
I thought it was well officiated game, too. Yeah, like they let him play. There wasn't many penalties. I liked it.
But you can't
let that happen.
You can't let it get out of hand, and you can't give everybody a credit card now to have a whack back and forth.
Right. Temperature has been taken up in Leafs ends, and... And I think, the early interest in the refs will be a no.
So
we're not having one of those games.
You think there was some meetings at the league about that video?
100%.
Yeah.
There is never not a meeting.
Yeah.
They got a lot of meetings over there?
Who was it? So Carolina's goalie or the Devil's goalie threw the same chop as Stolarz did, but he hit his own player.
Yeah.
And injured his own player.
Yes.
Like, still, it's not game 6 or 7 now.
Yeah.
We're still early enough.
Tone setting time.
They can just, hey, boys, we let you play in the sandbox there. And, you know, it kind of got ugly at the end, but like we're watching you now. That's what's happened between game 2 and game 3.
In Ottawa, Zetterlund has been moved up. He's going to get more opportunity. Perron and Cousins are on a line together with Gaudette in the middle. That is a
watch your knees.
Really good, greasy fourth line. Really good. Fourth line.
Keep your knees tucked.
5-on-5, it was pretty obvious.
Oh, God.
We'll see if Zetterlund can bring a little pop to that. That's a fast...
Sens fans like him. They've been asking for this.
Tampa Bay make this thing 1-1?
Hope so.
Yeah.
I do. I hope so.
That didn't sound very confident.
I'm not. I said yesterday that they're going to get swept.
Florida in game 1 shook me.
Yes.
It shook my belief in what I thought I knew
about
Florida.
Fading.
Yeah, I thought they were on
the
way out.
They had the fade going.
They were hurt. They were losing. Things were kind of... Game 1, they looked so good.
That puck drop is in a half an hour. 7 o'clock, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. 9 p.m. Eastern, Vegas and Minnesota. Winnipeg and St. Louis, 9:30 Eastern. Watch them all. Sometimes they say pick your game. No. Watch them all.
I think you can say multi-view into your Rogers remote and watch them all at once.
Really?
I think that's real.
I'm going to try that tonight.
Okay.
Except I'm just going to watch the Leafs game. I lied.
Busy day on our show. Our thanks to Kevin Bieksa, who's getting ready for Hockey Night in Canada and their pregame show. Rob Brown and Marty Turco. Have a great night, everybody. We're back tomorrow.